I wonder if you're familiar with this old saying, when in polite company, never discuss politics, religion, money, or sex. Anyone sort of grown up with that implicit rule that those are things that are perhaps a little bit lacking in taste for the meal table? Well, last week in church we had a sermon about politics, and today in church we have a sermon about money and religion, which just leaves sex for future weeks. Henry Check, the preaching rota, just in case. Many of us feel uncomfortable talking about money. It's also, I have to say, a little bit uncomfortable when you're the person preaching about money as well. But it's a subject the Bible has an awful lot to say about. In the Bible, there are 500 verses about prayer and more than 2,000 verses about money. And Jesus has more to say on the subject of money and possessions than he does on the subject of heaven and hell. In particular this morning, I want us to think together about the theme of giving. We've only got about 10 minutes or so, so we'll be looking briefly at one or two of the biblical principles that undergird our giving. And the reason I want to think about giving today in particular is because last week we had our annual church meeting. And part of the annual church meeting is looking at the church's accounts for the last year and thinking about where our money goes. So it strikes me that this is a really good opportunity to remind ourselves why we give and why we give to the church in particular. So let me begin by thinking about one or two of the principles that lie behind our giving. In a few weeks' time, my daughter is going to be taking a trumpet exam. And she's at that point where she needs to start practicing really hard, but she is fed up with playing the same pieces and scales over and over again. And if you've ever been a parent of a child who's played the same pieces and scales over and over again, you will know that it drives you mad as well. So to help encourage her to practice, I have devised an in-house incentivization scheme. If she does 90 minutes of practice per week, then she will get a reward. And the reward that she wants is a pet goldfish. So when she feels disinclined to practice and isn't her usual happy, sunny self, I gently remind her about the fish, and quickly she becomes enthusiastic and highly motivated and runs to grab the trumpet. It's quite amazing. In the week, I often speak to people who aren't Christians, and many of them assume that the reason that Christians give is because they're trying to earn a goldfish. They assume that if we do something good for God, that God will do something good for us, as if it's a kind of heavenly incentivization scheme that God uses to make sure that we behave ourselves. Well, do you know what? I think the reverse is actually true. In our reading from 1 Timothy, Paul tells us to put our hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. What Paul's saying is that all that we have comes from God. And when God gives, he does so generously, abundantly. Now, there are certain times in life when we're very aware of what we don't have. And I don't think Paul is trying to deny those feelings or to diminish them. But I think he is trying to alert us to what we do have, to help us to notice the things in our lives that are good. What he's saying, in essence, is that God is good, that God is generous, that God is gracious. We don't have to earn his love or favor. God's good to us because that's who he is, that's what he's like. It's his nature to be generous. I was talking to someone the other day who shared a story about God healing her. She explained that she'd had an ongoing complaint for a couple of years, but she was finally back to full health. And because of that, she wanted to make a gift to the church. She called it a thank offering, an expression of gratitude for God's goodness to her. Do you know, she could easily have said that she'd got better over time, that time was a healer. She could have said that she'd got better because of medical treatment and the medication that had been prescribed. She could have said she got better because of lifestyle changes that she'd made. And those things may well be true. But she also saw the goodness of God in her recovery. And so she wants to give something back to God. In a few minutes' time, we're going to be celebrating communion together. We'll be sharing bread and wine. We'll be remembering Jesus giving himself for us. Christian generosity isn't motivated by trying to earn something from God. It's a response to what God has done for us. It's motivated by gratitude. I don't know about you, but sometimes in the busyness of life and the pressure of life, I am slow to be thankful. I get so consumed with myself and my needs and what I need to do that I stop noticing the goodness of God. Whether that's the goodness of God in the world around me or whether that's the goodness of God in the blessings that I have in my day-to-day life. I suspect if I asked you this morning, what are you thankful for? That most of you would be able to list several things without even thinking about it. In the light of that, Paul says, do good. Be rich in good deeds. Be generous and willing to share. So that for me is the key principle that lies behind our giving. It's why we give, but what does it mean to give in practice? Well, we can all give in all sorts of ways to a variety of people and causes, and I know that many people here do. We're probably unaware of all the different things that each person does and gives and is involved with. But I want to think particularly about giving to the church. Everything we do as a church is funded by us, the members, and by any income that we generate hiring out our hall or our buildings. Last year, we gave 50% of our income to Southwark Diocese, that's the Anglican Church in South London. And that money and more comes back to us in the form of a vicar. In fact, in this parish, having a vicar is actually subsidised by the giving of other churches. But as well as giving money to the diocese in order to fund the post of a vicar, we also give away 10% of our income to other charities and individuals and organisations. And we do that for the very reason that I've just been discussing, as a sign of gratitude for all that God's given to us. I said last week at the annual meeting, for those of you who are able to make it, that I'm keen over the next year for us to begin to expand our activity as a church. I'm not quite sure what that might look like yet. It could mean running a parish-wide alpha course or starting a toddler group here at Good Shepherd, perhaps putting on some youth activities for some of our young people and others in this local community. It could be something else entirely that God hasn't quite told me about yet. But whatever we do, it is our giving, our gifts of time and money, that will make those things possible. Just so you know, the Church of England suggests that each member should give 5% of their income to the church. The New Testament suggests that each person should give as they are able. If you give away 5% of your income, the 95% you have left may not be enough to live on. In other cases, if you give away 5% of your income, the 95% you have left may be more than enough to live on. Which is why I rather like the pragmatic principle that's in the New Testament, the challenge for each of us to give as we're able. If you're someone that gives to our church in any way, then I would like to publicly thank you for that and thank you for the sacrifice that often goes with giving. And if you're someone that doesn't currently give by standing order, you might like to consider doing that because it helps us as a church to plan our activity and to be prudent with our finances. And if you're someone that doesn't at this point in time give to the church, then you might like to prayerfully think about whether that's something that's right for you to do. And we've got some leaflets at the back that are sort of peach-coloured that are headed giving that tell you a bit more about how to do that and a bit more about why we do that. I'll need to stop in a minute because my English reserve is starting to make me feel very uncomfortable and curl my toes about talking so frankly about money, so we better hurry on to an easier subject. But before I do, there's just one little story I want to share to finish. When I was about 10, I remember falling out with my dad whilst we were out on a shopping trip. We went into a shop with me stomping behind him and huffing and puffing like a trainee teenager. When we got to the checkout, I saw something that I really wanted, and I stood and sort of looked at it, that lingering look, and picked it up and held it. But I knew it was no point pestering my dad for it because my behaviour had been pretty grim, and he would say no. My dad read the signs, and he picked up what I was looking at and put it in the shopping basket. And after we left, he told me that he'd bought it, not because I deserved it or I'd earned it, but because he loves me. However I behave. whether you're someone who is in a position to give to the church or not, does not change how God feels about you. Whether you give to the church but you feel you can only manage a small amount does not change how God feels about you. Jesus describes God as a father who loves to give good gifts. You don't have to earn God's goldfish. God is good and generous and gracious. That's who he is, and he's like that to all his children. Amen.